This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Could this be the year in New York State for a single-payer health care system? We speak with Assemblyman Richard Gottfried, chair of the New York State Assembly Health Committee, and Dr. Mary O'Brien with Physicians for a National Health Program.
And it's interesting that we have you on as some of the statistics of the Affordable Care Act enrollment process have now come in, and they're certainly the White House is lording that approximately a quarter of the required or the needed demographic of younger people have registered in for the various insurance funds relevant to or part of the Affordable Care Act. So why do we need a single-payer health care system? Is the Affordable Care Act that unable to support the health care of the American populace?
What I think we have learned or demonstrated from the Affordable Care Act is that you can dress it up and do a lot of improvements in our insurance system, but when you're all done doing those things, as the Affordable Care Act does, you are still left with a system that is unfairly funded, that through premiums that bear no relation to ability to pay, through higher and higher deductibles, co-payments, out-of-network charges that people are made to pay, insurance companies that very tightly limit what doctors and hospitals you can go to and second-guess your doctor about what care they will cover. These are all things that I think are very clearly inherent in an insurance company-based system. And the only way that we can get fully comprehensive coverage for everyone that is administered fairly and paid for fairly, and that treats both patients and providers with respect, is by moving to a system that gets rid of insurance companies, and that's the single-payer system.
I would agree completely. We're really the most inefficient system in the world in terms of providing health care, and one of the only ones that use, as Assemblyman Gottfried has said, for-profit private insurance companies, which use up about 30% of the health care dollars. So it's a very, very inefficient system in terms of financing, and it is very inequitable, and the ACA will never cover everyone, and it admits that freely. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that 31 million people will still be uninsured under the ACA. So it doesn't change the problems that we have now with our for-profit healthcare system. It simply brings some more people in under Medicaid, which would be helpful, but the exchanges are very limited insurance programs, as Assemblyman Gottfried has said. They're much more limited than typical employer-based programs, and they have quite high deductibles, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, meaning that people will have to spend that amount of money before they get any reimbursement from their insurance company. And they have very narrow networks of physicians and hospitals that they can go to patients can go to for service. So it's not a good solution, and we know from study after study that single payer is really the most efficient way to use our health care funds and to be able to provide an equitable system that will cover all of us from birth throughout our entire lives.
Going from the diagnostic by Dr. O'Brien to a solution, prescription perhaps by Assemblyman Gottfried, what is single-payer? Let's talk generically first, and then we'll talk a little bit about how it could be done in New York State or a state.
Well, a single-payer system is one where one way to describe it is that it's very much like traditional Medicare, but without coinsurance, without deductibles, and it covers everyone. So you go to your doctor, the doctor you choose, and the single payer, which is the public health coverage system, pays the bill. And it is funded by, at least in our bill, by two basic progressively graduated taxes. One is a payroll tax, like the way we pay for Social Security and Medicare, except in our bill there would be no cap on the income that would be covered, and it would be progressively graduated. So your $100,000th dollar would be taxed at a higher rate than your $10,000th dollar. And secondly, since an awful lot of wealth in our society comes in not in payroll but in dividends and interest and capital gains, there would be a graduated surcharge on taxable non-payroll income.
Dr. O'Brien, just to backtrack for a moment, there have been a number of studies which would seem to have defied popular wisdom for most of us who believe that the best health care in the world is really from the U.S. There are at least seven, it's my understanding, higher income countries that purport to have a much better system of health care with a much lower fatality rate. And yet we are in a position here. We are still paying more per person for our health care, despite the reality that we seem to have fallen below these other countries in providing and not to mention preventative health care costs. So is that all about the reality of the fact that it is a private healthcare system and that the billions that are spent are really spent as profit and have little to do with the healthcare funding of the actual individual? Is that what's creating?
There's two kind of elements to it. One is, as we've been talking about so far, the financing of our system, which is really inefficient in being done through for-profit private insurance companies. So single payer would change that financing. We also have a very inefficient delivery system, which is also profit-driven in many ways through fee-for-service doctors, through expensive pharmaceuticals and medical devices. And so our system is not based on the ideal that we will provide high-quality health care to everyone. And in doing that, we'll see what's the most efficient way to do it. And preventive care then becomes very important in maintaining people's health and not waiting until they get critically ill and require very, very high-cost medicines. One of the ways to do that, which most other countries do, is primary care physicians provide the majority of health care to people and then refer to specialists when the patient has a problem that needs further management. And our system really has very few primary care physicians, and people go directly to specialists, which is very expensive. So that we fall down on the job both with financing of health care and the delivery of health care. And a third area is that most other countries provide more of a safety net in terms of other social services that contribute to people's health, such as housing, schooling, nutritional support, all those kinds of things which are essential factors, and we sometimes call them the social determinants of health. And we have to look more carefully at those as well because they all affect a person's overall health and security and ability to live a productive life.
Assemblyman Gottfried, I've talked to a number of people, and they say, yes, single payer would be much better, but it's impossible, you can't get it, and so on and so forth. I know Vermont has passed a bill for single payer. Other states are looking at it. The support in New York State. But how can this be done on a state level?
Well, one thing I've often said is if if all the people who privately say to me, oh, you know, Dick, of course everyone knows single payer is the only sensible way, but how are you going to get it done? If all those people ever said that out loud in public at the same time, it would be a tidal wave of support. And so part of my struggle has been to get people who know that single payer is the right thing to do to actually join the effort. And, you know, part of the problem is every year, every advocacy group has to fight about what's going on in the state budget, or they're fighting for some incremental reform. I do that. I mean, we all have to do that kind of work. What we need to do, though, is also on a parallel track work for real reform. I think as people learn from the Affordable Care Act that even after we do everything we could do with the insurance system, even after all of that, we still have all these problems. I think it is making it clearer and clearer to more and more people that we do need to go to a single-payer system. Fortunately, in this country, we don't have to do everything in Washington. And obviously, Washington is a long way from doing anything as socially sensible as single-payer. But in many states, and I think New York can be one of them, you have a very different political climate. And, you know, it's going to take a working Democratic majority in our state Senate. It's going to have a governor who either is or chooses to be a real progressive for this to happen. But I think those conditions are coming. The state single payer bill in New York has been endorsed by the Working Families Party and Local 1199, a very powerful political union, and the Communication Workers of America, United Auto Workers. I think things are beginning to come together.
And how would this tie into the Affordable Care Act? I mean, Vermont has already passed it, but it can't implement it yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can look at Vermont as an example. What has to be done in order to have a state have an independent medical system similar to what Vermont is going to do is that you need to get a waiver from the federal government so that the federal funds that go into Medicaid, Medicare, and health care are turned over to the state, and then the state can set up a single-payer system using those funds. It's the money raised, as Assemblyman Gottfried has said, by a progressive payroll tax and by taxing very high-income people. And so the system is set up to provide waivers like that. Currently, they're not going to be available until 2017, although there's some movement to see if they can be made available more quickly. And if a single-payer system could be passed, I think, in a couple of states, and it could be seen how effective it is, that it would then gain more traction to be looked at as a federal program, similar to what happened when Canada started their national health insurance in Saskatchewan, and then it quickly moved through the other provinces. It's interesting, there was an article in the New York Times a couple of days ago looking at who has political control over the states, and that's a very important aspect in terms of passing single-payer bills. And currently, you know, the Republicans have gained quite a number of states that they have control over, the governorship and the legislatures, and so those will be harder states to reach. But Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Minnesota, California, Oregon, Colorado, Illinois, West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, they all have Democratic control both in the governor's office and in the legislature. And a number of those states have single-payer bills that they're looking at. We have, you know, mixed control with a Democratic governor, but our legislature is not fully controlled by Democrats. So it makes it a little more challenging, but I think we are moving steadily forward, and our support is broadening. You know, the New York State Nurses Association is behind it, the New York State Academy of Family Physicians. A lot of groups are seeing
pediatricians.
Pediatricians. Some of
the Central Labor Council
groups.
Also.
Pardon?
The Central Labor Council also.
Yes, absolutely. So all those things, I think, are important to build kind of a grassroots support, and I think that's really what we have to do, and what they did in Vermont by really going to all the local areas and really building strong support for single payer.
It also helps in Vermont that they elected Peter Shumlin, a very strong, articulate, progressive as governor in 2010.
Absolutely. And, made a huge difference.
You know, strong leadership makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And Assemblyman Godfrey, and we should say that the bill is in the Senate side, sponsored by Bill Perkins. What do we do to get on board with a single-payer health care system, one agency that would act as the health insurance administrator responsible for taking in all health care fees and making health care payments to all service providers? What do we do?
You know, we all belong to organizations, whether it's, you know, a block association or a union or a religious organization. I mean, we're all social animals. People need to write to their legislators, write to their weekly newspaper, get the organization that you belong to pass a resolution supporting the bill, get involved in local politics and talk to your local candidates and leaders. That's how people get the system to respond.
And yes, I would agree. We also have a lobbying day in Albany. We usually have it in May, and in fact, the medical students from throughout New York State have a lobbying day coming up. They're going to lobby the New York State legislature. Physicians for National Health Program provide speakers to different local groups to discuss single-payer care and to discuss the New York State bill, and we're happy to meet with different groups locally to, you know, be a resource and help with this educational process, because it's such a clear decision when you look at it that it makes economic sense, it makes moral sense. Healthcare is a human right that everyone deserves, that it's hard to argue against it. Once
well, we're
going
to have to leave it there, and we're not arguing against it. So, Dick Godfrey, for sure. What do we call this bill when we refer and get all our legislators on board?
It's called the New York Health Bill. Very short, simple name.
Okay.
The very, very quickly, the web address for the Physicians for National Health Care Program.
Our address is info at pnhpnewyorkmetro.org. And just contact us, and we're happy to provide you with speakers, with educational information, and with whatever resources people
Thank
need
you
to
so much.
Get this out.
And,
thank you very much.
Really, very, very much special thanks for the introduction of the bill. And he perseveres. Richard Godfrey, chair of the New York State Assembly Health Committee. We're going to keep a close eye. We're going to follow this, and we're going to not only pursue it, but we're going to advocate for it. And Dr. Mary O'Brien with Physicians for National Health Program, thanks for caring about people's health.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a dream.
Healthcare.
One day.
Justice. Healthcare. Justice.
America of the people. America by the people. America for the people. Which people are you talking about? Are you talking about the wealthy with the means to stay healthy while 47 million go without? No doubt. We need a revolution. It's time for a brand new healthcare solution. Sing it on behalf of the uninsured, because I believe it's so absurd for America, the so-called greatest nation, to be in a healthcare crisis situation.
One day, this nation will rise up.
Justice.
Come from the land of milk and honey.
United we stand, divided we fall.
But the healthcare industry's addicted to money.
All for one, not one for all.
47 million in dire straits,
excluded by greed and wealth.
So we got to get united in these states
and put the care back in health.
Come on, y'all. Sing healthcare justice for all. How can you sleep knowing you make promises you never keep? Life is short and talk is cheap. Time has come for you to earn your keep. Money and politics corrupting democracy, creating a hopeless healthcare hypocrisy. It's hard to see beyond your illusion. A misconception, lies, and confusion.
Every hill and mountain will be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight.
America is a melting pot.
Or is this a false accusation?
Of the have-to-haves and the have-to-have-nots.
We're waiting in anticipation.
Sing up here like Johnny on the spot.
In every other industrialized nation.
So when will we have what we have not got? Talking about a do-or-die situation.
No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied
justice.
Until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
And we go from Healthcare Justice by Colette Washington, a member of National Nurses United, to Senator Bernie Sanders and Representative Jim McDermott discussing the state-by-state approach to enacting Medicare for All, single-payer health insurance plan, as pioneered by Vermont, which could become the model for the nation.
Congressman Jim McDermott and I are very pleased that you're here today. And we're very pleased to be joined with Arlene Baker-Holt of the AFL-CIO, Gene Ross of the National Nurses United, and Matt Biggs of the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers, and many other labor representatives to talk about the need for real health care reform in this country. And what Congressman McDermott and I and organized labor are saying is enough. Now is the time for the United States of America to join the rest of the industrialized world and say that health care is a right of all people, not a privilege for the few. We are here today to advocate for and bring forth legislation which provides for a Medicare for All single-payer program, which will guarantee health care for every man, woman, and child in this country. The major issue that we as a nation, in terms of healthcare, have got to resolve, is healthcare a right or is it not? And we say, along with the vast majority of the American people, that it is a right. The second issue that we have to resolve is, if we are going to guarantee healthcare to all of our people, how do we do it in a cost-effective way? And the only way you do that is through a Medicare for All single-payer program. We are sick and tired of seeing up to 30 cents of every healthcare dollar going to administration, going to billing, going to advertising, going to profiteering. Healthcare dollars should go to healthcare, not to make CEOs extremely wealthy. When a doctor works with a patient, examines a patient, that doctor should give that patient the best possible treatment, not worry about whether the patient can afford the cost of care or the very high cost of prescription drugs. So what today is about is saying that healthcare is a right, and we're going to go forward in that direction. I would point out that as someone who supported the healthcare reform bill of last year, that after healthcare reform is implemented, we are still going to be looking at 23 million Americans without any health insurance at all. We are going to continue to see the cost of health care soaring for businesses and for working people as well. So I think that health care reform is a step forward. We have got to go a lot further. I am very proud that in the state of Vermont, our small state may well be leading the nation in a new direction, making Vermont the first state in the country to go forward with single payer. My hope is that we can get the waivers now, which will allow the state of Vermont to use the federal resources that it will be receiving for a single-payer program. So we are making some progress, and now we are working with organized labor to make the day come sooner when everybody in this country has health care as a right. It is now my pleasure to introduce a gentleman who has probably worked harder than anybody in the United States Congress for decades on the concept of a Medicare for All single-payer program, Congressman Jim McDermott of Washington. Jim.
Thank you very much, Bernie. It's really exciting to watch what's happening in Vermont. I started back in the state of Washington in 1984 with the Washington Basic Health Plan, trying to do what Vermont is doing in 2011. So there have been a lot of steps along the way trying to make this all happen. I'm a supporter of the Affordable Care Act. It's a start, but it has in it the provision for waivers to states to run their own system, which is basically what the bill that I've been introducing and Bernie's been introducing for the last 20 years has been, a single-payer system state by state. Vermont is poised right on the verge of doing it. Now, as Bernie says, the problem with the Affordable Care Act, if there is one, is there's still a lot of people who aren't covered. And in order to make a system really be able to control the costs, you have to have everybody in the system. You can't have a large segment of the population who are coming into emergency rooms in extremis rather than having preventive care. You have to do preventive care and give people basic primary care before so that they don't wind up being so costly in the emergency room. What's also exciting about today is having the California nurses. They've tried it in California. They came within inches of doing this in California a few years ago. So this isn't just Vermont that's thinking about this. This is people all across this country. And to have organized labor and the nurses who have been looking at this situation backing us is really very heartwarming to see that it's coming together to back what's going on in the upper right-hand or left, let's see, I guess it's the upper left-hand corner of the United States. And you are looking at a little tiny state, but it's going to happen all over the place because it is an idea whose time is right.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.